The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
In Germany, I mean, he's doing a terrible job. He's got immigration problems. He's got energy problems. He's got problems of all kinds. And he's got a big problem with Ukraine because they're in that mess. And he criticized me for doing the whole thing with Iran. But I said, would you like to have a nuclear weapon in the hands of Iran? He said, no, I don't. I said, well, then I guess I'm right. He didn't have any answer to that. The bottom line is for this world, for our country, but certainly for Israel, the Middle East, and Europe, much closer, you cannot let Iran have a nuclear weapon. And if you agree that Iran can't have a nuclear weapon, which most people agree, almost everybody, it should have been done a long time ago. But if you agree they can't have a nuclear weapon, then what I did has been executed perfectly.
I'm wondering how often Trump can do this in terms of the rhetoric and this way he has of completely rubbing up everybody in NATO the wrong way. How much longer can this continue without the whole thing just basically blowing up?
But Germany, especially Ramstein Air Base, is exceptionally important as a logistical and refueling hub for American Air Force operations. And so it would be rather foolish for him and limit him strategically, certainly in terms of options that you might have for conducting certain operations in withdrawing from Germany.
You talked about possibly pulling out some troops out of Germany. Would you be considering the same thing for Spain and Italy? I mean, they haven't been exactly on board.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I probably will. Why should I? You know, look, why shouldn't I? Italy has not been of any help to us. And Spain has been horrible, absolutely horrible. You know, it's NATO. It's not even the fact that they've been. It's one thing if they said nicely or if they said, okay, we'll help, but the help's a little slow. But the level, and we helped them with Ukraine. When we needed them, they were not there. We have to remember that. And so if we ever have a big one, because we didn't need any help with Iran, we had Iran right from the first day. It was over. It was over. And now it's even more so. We're so locked and loaded if we want to do it. But we didn't need the help. And to a certain extent, I asked them, I didn't need the help, but I said, yeah, we'd love to have you help because I wanted to see if they'd do it. And they, in all cases, they said, we don't want to get involved. And, you know, the amazing thing is they use the Strait of Hormuz. We don't. We don't use it. We don't need it. We have a lot of oil. Wait a minute. And they use it. We don't. And you would have thought they would have said, we would love to help you. But they didn't.
The rift widens, the rift between America and Europe. Troops out of Germany, we covered that on the show yesterday. Now we're talking about Italy. These are not some tiny third world nations in the middle of Nowheresville. These are powerful nations in Europe. And as I covered on the show yesterday, I mean, how soon we forget. Why? Why those troops were stationed in Europe to begin with? And what happened prior to American troops being stationed there? 80, 85 years go by, and next thing you know, I mean, we're in a very different world. I mean, like I covered yesterday, that one clip where it says, to punish Germany, President Trump's considering pulling troops out of Germany. I mean, if that's punishment for Germany, then we're definitely living in a very different world today than we were in back in the late 1940s, early 1950s. The parallels between the 1930s and today, there's a few differences here and there, but I mean, it's stunning to see this play out. I mean, we know what Bible prophecy says, but even just learning from the lessons of history, as I say, stunning to watch. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. This is the last show of the week. You can get to the live video stream of this program at thetrumpet.com or at the Rumble channel or at the YouTube channel. Lots of options. You can also watch the show after the fact. You can send us an email, td@thetrumpet.com. We'd love to hear from you. Lots to get to on today's show, including this week's segment of World Watch. We'll probably tuck that in right at the end of the show. So first Germany, and now they're talking about Italy and Spain. What happens when America's presence is gone? And forget about a lot of commentators have talked about, well, it's there for Germany's protection. And then now they're talking more about, well, I mean, look at how strategic it is for America to launch an operation in the Middle East or the Far East or somewhere, and to have those bases in Germany, to have those bases in Italy, they're crucial. And I mean, that's true as well. But no one seems to have any concern whatsoever about the resurgence of a Holy Roman Empire. No one seems to point out that those troops were put there. They were put there in large part to keep Germany and Italy down, to make sure that they never remilitarized. And now, on the one hand, we're telling just open, blatant rebuke. And it's going in both directions. It's almost every day there's some other prominent European leader that's sticking it to Trump. And then, as you see there in the cold open, I mean, President Trump does not hesitate to express his disdain, his rebuke for European leaders, pointing out all of their problems, their flaws. He's clearly disgusted with them over their refusal to even voice some support. It sounds like, as he said there, that would have at least been something. But instead, they're rebuking Trump. There's no real aim in the war effort with Iran. It's turning out to be a disaster. America's being humiliated. And then President Trump, for his part, he humiliates European leaders. How does this end? How do you humiliate your supposed allies and at the same time say, listen, take 5% of your GDP and you need to rebuild a war machine. Also, I hate you. How does this end? I've got a piece from GermanForeignPolicy.com where it talks about the world arming for war. Where have you read that before? That would be thetrumpet.com. That would be the Trumpet magazine. That would be decades of warnings about Germany. He was right. Herbert Armstrong was right. First Germany, now Italy, now Spain. I mean, to pull American forces out of those countries, it simultaneously weakens America, okay, and then it empowers Europe. The Guardian says about 13,000 military personnel are stationed across 7 naval bases in Italy. According to the U.S. Defense Manpower Data Center, at the end of last year, the U.S. military had 68,000 active duty military personnel assigned permanently in its overseas bases in Europe, with just over half, about 36,000, stationed in Germany. Do we remember why we put the most of them in Germany? Anyone? Mueller? Does anyone remember? The Guardian says since the end of the Cold War, U.S. bases in Europe have become key forward staging sites and logistical hubs for U.S. military operations, launching and supporting wars, including in Iraq, Afghanistan, and most recently, Iran. I mean, we're using those bases, not just to keep Germany down, which no one mentions, but to stage operations in Iraq, in Afghanistan, now Iran. How expensive is an operation like what took place in Iran a few weeks back? If you're going to have to launch these B-52 bombers nonstop from Missouri or somewhere in the heart of America, flying halfway around the world and then back, dropping the payload and then back. It says here, defense analysts, opposition Democrats, and even some members of Trump's own Republican Party see a strong U.S. military presence in Europe as a vital part of the country's global military reach. I mean, that's true. It's kind of, it's obvious. It should be. But their mere presence, the presence of U.S. military power, of U.S. might and strength, the presence of U.S. troops keeps Germany down, keeps Italy down, in a sense. Now we're at a place, and it's because, as I said yesterday, a lot of these earth-shaking decisions are being made because of, you know, wounded pride or because of taking offense at what someone said. We recorded a program yesterday. I didn't get a chance to really delve into our Revelation 10 verses 5 and 6, where it talks about no more delay. I mean, we are at a point where the prophecies are accelerating like never before. Tuesday is the anniversary of entering into the last hour. 25 years. 25 years, and I mean, it's frightening to think about where we're headed. I mean, we know. It's kind of like Jesus Christ when in Matthew 20, he laid out for the disciples in every little detail. Okay, this is what's going to happen. They're going to arrest me, and then I'm going to go before the religious elites, and they're going to transfer me over to the Gentile leadership, and I'm going to be scourged and beaten, and then I'm going to be crucified. I mean, we know because of Bible prophecy, the sure word of Bible prophecy. We know how this plays out. It's in Revelation 17. It's there in the book of Daniel. It's the Olivet Prophecy. But that doesn't make it any less sobering. And even the disciples who heard, I mean, from the Master, this is what will transpire on our final trip to Jerusalem. And even though they heard it in advance, it was hard for them to accept, because of the violence, because of the amount of hatred. All of these evil actors coming together as friends for a moment in time so that they could fight against God's plan and purpose. This world is about to explode in violence, and it's hard to believe there aren't more commentators or especially preachers that will say it, that will give you the truth. Jesus Christ talked about the truth before Pontius Pilate. And Pilate is kind of, you know, in this contemptuous manner said, well, what is truth? I mean, I've got my truth and you've got yours. Christ didn't even respond to him. At least not to that question. People are so, they're so stubborn and stiff-necked. And just, I mean, absolutely insistent on going the way that they think is right. That they think seems right. It seems right. Pull those troops out of Germany. I mean, what did Germany do for us? Pull them out of Italy. Pull them out of Spain. They've been nasty to us. And oh, by the way, build up your war machine as well. The Guardian says the continued attacks on NATO allies hurts America, according to this representative. The two big airfields in Germany give us great access to three continents. We're shooting ourselves in her own feet. I mean, that's true. That's true. But the primary reason those troops are there is to keep Germany down. That was the primary reason for the establishment of NATO. To keep Germany down. The Guardian says German military officials were reportedly sanguine about Trump's threats, saying cooperation remained close. They're there saying, well, we've heard the bluster before. Let's just let things simmer down and hopefully nothing changes. Well, in fact, there are dramatic changes happening. The world is arming for war. Europe is arming for war, and Germany's leading in the race. I mean, it's a nuclear arms race. Even at a time when we're talking about the spread of peace. On Truth Social, President Trump said the Chancellor of Germany should spend more time on ending the war with Ukraine, Russia-Ukraine, where he's been totally ineffective, and fixing his broken country, especially immigration and energy, and less time on interfering with those that are getting rid of the Iran nuclear threat, thereby making the world, including Germany, a safer place. Well, some of that's spot on, but at the same time, he takes a shot at Merz for not ending the war in Ukraine, which, as I recall, President Trump promised to do on day one of his return. And so really what we're seeing is the inability of mankind, of leaders, to solve the problems of this world, whether it's President Trump or Merz or whoever. Ukraine, Russia, that continues. That quagmire. The U.S. tries to take care of the nuclear threat in Iran and then draws Europe into this conflict in a war of words that's connected to Iran, to Ukraine. And Europe, for its part, is saying goodbye. It will eventually, whether it happens now or in, you know, stages in the months ahead. Those troops are going to leave Italy, Germany, Spain, and the continent. Those 60-some thousand troops. They're going to say goodbye to Europe. Europe's going to say goodbye to America. Europe's going to say goodbye to NATO. The European Union is going to downsize to 10 kings, as Revelation 17 and verse 12 says. It's coming, and you'll know where you heard it when it actually happens. Nearly 40,000 U.S. military personnel are stationed in Germany, the headquarters of U.S. European Command. Removing them could prove logistically difficult while also disrupting long-held U.S. defense plans across Europe. Long-held positions. 70, 80 years. Long-held policies, long-held strategies. And it's all crumbling. And it's happening fast. Listen to this clip from PBS on the German buildup of its war machine, clip two.
In a post on Truth Social, the president told Merz to, quote, spend more time on ending the war with Russia, Ukraine, where he has been totally ineffective, and fixing his broken country. The threat from Russia means Germany's push to strengthen its own armed forces is a race against time.
The German Chancellor, Friedrich Merz, has said he'll do whatever it takes to make sure that Germany is war-ready by 2029. He's boosted defense spending to make sure that by the end of the decade, Germany will have the strongest military force in Europe.
Increasing the pace of Germany's rearmament has become more urgent after President Trump reiterated his dismay over America's NATO allies' refusal to join the war against Iran.
We spend hundreds of billions of dollars a year on NATO, hundreds of protecting them. And we would have always been there for them, but now, based on their actions, I guess we don't have to be, do we?
As it atoned for its Nazi past, Germany has projected a peaceful posture. Now the Bundeswehr is having to counter deep-rooted skepticism about its purpose.
I forget what year it was when Bibi Netanyahu. I think he was speaking before the U.S. Congress. This was many years ago, where he talked about the parallels between the lead up to World War II and what we're facing today. He talked about the jarring gong. I mean, there's something particularly jarring and disturbing when you think about the past 80 plus years and all of these disturbing parallels and how that we're now encouraging German rearmament. As you heard there in that clip, the parallels are eerie. As I said, there's a few distinct differences. But here we are, and there's this cognitive dissonance as well, like I said earlier. Here we are saying, Europe, rebuild your war machine. Yeah, up to 5% of GDP. Make sure you've got all the modern technology. Make sure you're ready by 2029. You've got to be ready to go to war by the end of this decade. Wow. Yeah. And then at the same time, even though we're talking like we hate each other, we are going to be besties for the rest of our lives. There's a lot of hatred and contempt for America all over the world, but certainly in Europe. We found some clips just this morning. This is a program my father gave over 20 years ago. The title, Why Europe Hates America. I mean, it's always been there. It's like Mr. Armstrong said, I mean, as soon as World War II ended, they started plotting and planning for the next phase of warfare. Round three. They just, as Revelation 17 said they would, they just went underground. I mean, Germany was in rubble after World War II, so much of it. So they went underground, and they've been waiting, and they've been taking advantage of all of these American-led initiatives. You know, the Marshall Plan, rebuilding your enemy with billions and billions of aid. And then establishing NATO to, you know, give Germany some protection and keep America involved and, oh yeah, keep Germany down. And now that has the purpose has completely transformed to just, well, we need to give Germany some protection. And it's also, you know, it's a very important strategic location for all of these war efforts America gets involved in outside of Europe. But there is nothing, zero. There's nothing about keeping Germany down. That is over. That is in another era. That is a long, long time ago in a place far away. We're not even a century removed. In the last century, Germany made two attempts to conquer the world. And now, even though we talk like we hate them, we assume they're always going to really support America's interests. We are in for a rude awakening. You talk about a jarring gong. This is from my father's Key of David program back in 2005, over 20 years ago, clip five.
Why does Europe have such bitter hatred for the U.S. or for America? America's power has been used to save Europe, certainly help save them from tyranny and two world wars. Many, many American lives were sacrificed in Europe to save that continent, and yet today, why do they have such hatred for us? If you go to and check with historians and even TV commentators and other experts, you'll find that even they don't truly understand why that hatred is there. They can't understand it. They are puzzled by it. But if you understand Bible prophecy, you understand exactly why that is happening and what it all means.
Here again, another irrational, unhinged hatred that people don't even understand. They don't know why it's there. Well, if you know about history and if you understand about prophecy, you know, and if you know who the God of this world is, then you understand it perfectly. Moving American troops out of Europe is something that German leaders behind closed doors are applauding. This is an opportunity. They see it as an opportunity to build the machine, the war machine, to confront the United States yet again, to confront Great Britain yet again, to dominate the continent of Europe yet again, to use those troops, to use that war machine, not for defensive purposes, but to go on the offensive yet again. History is repeating itself. In GermanForeignPolicy.com, it says new data shows Germany and Europe driving the global arms race with double-digit increases in their military budgets. Global military spending reached new heights in 2025, while poverty and hunger are rampant. Is this God's world? You can talk about peace and prosperity all that you want, but let's look at the facts on the ground. Is this God's world? The September issue of the Trumpet. This is last year, 2025. Germany is arming for World War III. If you guys can grab that cover, you can show them. It says, Bible prophecy warns that Germany is planning to strike again. Since World War II, it is geared up for a third round and now enters the final phase, rapid militarization. That's where we are. We're in the final phase. The political union is there, even though it needs to be downsized, this empire. The economic union, it's there. It's already there. The common currency, it's there. Now they're just waiting on the military, rapid militarization. And you heard there from the clip I just played. I mean, they're aiming for being ready for war in 2029. That's 3 years away. And where are you hearing any kind of alarms being sounded? Any warning bells out there? Well, there is at the Trumpet, that's for sure. If you don't have a Trumpet subscription, we don't charge anything for it. God is reaching out to this world in love. God is making the truth available. In this case, for free. And yet, most people respond like Pontius Pilate. Well, I mean, come on, what is truth? What is truth, anyway? I mean, is this your truth? Is this just your view? Is this your perspective? No, actually, it's God's perspective. And the message has been consistent since 1926, 1927, 100 years of accurate forecasting. God has been pleading with this world, even during this Jeroboam end. He's saying, look, turn from your wicked ways. Get back right with me. Says, with a double-digit increase in its military budget, Germany is driving forward Europe's arms race. Did you hear this? Germany is driving forward Europe's arms race. This was all happening in the 1930s. We're going to have to pull out our booklet, Winston Churchill, The Watchman, because Churchill, it was like 1934, I think, when Germany actually surpassed Britain in military spending. And this was after World War I. This was after, not even that long after, Germany tried to conquer the world. And then they're hard at work for another round in the 1930s. And a lot of Western leaders were like, this is great. Listen, we want equality among nations. We want equality militarily as well. Look, we've got some problems with you. We don't like the way you're not doing this or you're doing this. But hey, put double-digit GDP, raise your military spending twice as much. Go for it. The world needs it. The world needs more arms. The world needs to arm for war. And it did. And the war came. This disturbing trend is quantified in the latest analysis of the development of global military expenditure by SIPRI, this organization. According to this group, spending on the Bundeswehr rose by 24% to $114 billion in 2025, while Europe's expenditure on the continent's various armies grew by 14%. So 24% growth in Germany, the rest of the continent, 14%. And keep in mind, Germany's leading the way. The empire is of 10 kings. So, I mean, you can poo-poo the $114 billion. That's just a fraction of what the U.S. spends. Well, how much does the U.S. spend or put toward the bloated bureaucracy that exists? Yes, even in the Pentagon. I would imagine it's a little more streamlined in Germany, the rapid buildup of the military machine. It's probably more efficient. I'm just going out on a limb to guess that when it comes to German thoroughness in preparation for warfare, that they're probably taking it pretty serious. And the rest of Europe's on board, you see. This puts Germany and European states at the forefront of the global arms race. Global military spending was up by 2.9% to $2.887 trillion last year. Global spending on military might, $2.8 trillion. In what world does this turn out with a happy ending? This means that for the first time, 2.5% of the combined economic output of all nations was squandered on weapons, while nearly a tenth of the world's population continues to live in extreme poverty. What a stark contrast. Now, that's not to say that, you know, handouts of money is going to solve the problem with poverty or malnutrition. But it is nevertheless a stark contrast. Trillions and trillions of dollars, military spending, and then all this hatred and animosity. Yeah, we might pull out. They haven't done anything for us. They didn't even give us vocal support. They didn't even give us half-hearted support. And they need the strait more than we do. They need Hormuz. We don't need it. Is this going to end with a happy, peaceful ending? People need to wake up to what's happening all around us. This world is, as that September issue of the Trumpet noted, it is arming for war. It is preparing to fight. It's preparing to use bombs. Bombs on pretty prosperous, wealthy nations where there's a lot of spiritual poverty. For the first time, 2.5% of the combined economic output of all nations. It's never happened before. It's unprecedented. What's more, the wars resulting from this arms race are exacerbating hunger and misery in Germany and the wider EU. It's also estimated that around a fifth of the population are at risk of poverty. So, what a deadly combination, right? As poverty spreads, malnutrition, and then the spread of all these weapons, so much discontent, so much hatred, the spirit of murder is in the air. Here in the States, we're glorifying assassins. As long as they have the right target, it's justified. The main driver of the arms buildup in Europe last year has been Germany. And the collective yawning response of commentators happens simultaneously. What's the big deal? It's not a problem. That's a good thing. This is actually a blessing. This is a blessing for Germans. It's a blessing for Europeans. It's a blessing for the world. Germany leading an arms race. CIPRI statistics show that Germany increased its military spending in 2025 by a hefty 24%. This marks the third consecutive year of double-digit percentage growth. Further increases are likely to follow. The German government aims to allocate 3.5% of German GDP to the Bundeswehr by 2029. This, again, is from my father's Key of David back in 2005, 21 years ago, clip 6.
The devil is stirring up all kinds of hateful emotions that are going to cause all... Even the people who have the hate don't understand. They don't understand that it's an invisible power that's moving and stirring them to have a kind of bitterness toward the U.S. that they simply don't truly comprehend. Now, if you look at Bible prophecy, you begin to see that these emotions and these hatreds are really just the outer edges of a great military storm that is building in Europe and is going to shock this world, I mean the entire earth. Another leader, somewhat like Adolf Hitler, is going to arrive somewhere in Europe and going to be used to cause great problems. And going to be used by, again, an evil force that this world does not understand.
That's my father from 21 years ago. As I say, we're going to have to plug this booklet, Winston S. Churchill, The Watchman. My father wrote that. I can't remember the year he wrote it, but the parallels, as I say, they're stunning. Our news gatherers pulled together just some bits from the 1930s. Hitler coming to power in 1933. By 1934, Germany passed Britain in defense spending, and it was all under the guise of the National Recovery Program, or programs, plural. So it's just all about the economy. I mean, we need this. We need to redirect industry, automotive or otherwise, to military spending and production. Because this is what stimulates the economy. And a good economy solves problems. And it ends poverty. And it makes people happy. And it brings nations together. So let's just keep building the war machine. Hitler secretively poured tens of millions into the German Air Force and Navy. And this was illegal. Yeah, after World War I, I mean, this was a no-go. No, I mean, this was out of bounds. He did it illegally. Germany today, they're just doing it right out in the open. And the world is applauding. The world couldn't be happier. America and Britain could not be happier. 3 years, as I just read in German foreign policy, of rising defense spending, 24% increase last year alone. If you look at one of the first signs of a nation preparing for war, it's the expansion, obviously, the expansion of the war industry. You've got to manufacture the weapons before you can use them. So it's time for us to wake up to what's going on. What do we do? Send the warning out when the bombs start dropping? Well, right now the bombs are being made. They're being constructed. And so here comes God's warning. This is exactly what Churchill warned about in the 1930s. He said, look, Germany's building a war machine. Is anyone listening? Is anyone watching this? Is anyone concerned? The fact that Germany surpassed Britain in military spending in 1934, does that set off any alarm bells? Anyone? World-renowned German engineers are struggling to find work. So, see if the German military needs any help. And they do. And it's great, because this really does stimulate the economy. You see, we're witnessing the return of the German-led Holy Roman Empire. There's another article at GermanForeignPolicy.com where it says more and more German engineering firms opt for defense industry orders, hoping to escape the sector's collapse. The Hanover Mess features an arms section for the first time, dedicated military trade fairs now scheduled in Germany. The German engineering industry has been plunged into a deep crisis. More and more companies are seeking to save themselves from losses or even bankruptcy by turning to defense production. We have to do it. We have to do it to save our economy. We have to do it for the good of our people. We have to do it to keep these industries from going under, from going bankrupt. It's a must, you see. Like Germany's flagship industry, automotives, and its third largest industry, chemicals, the Federal Republic's second largest sector, mechanical and plant engineering, is also facing a serious crisis. Most recent statistics show the engineering sector achieving an annual turnover of 280 billion euros and employing 933,000 people. This is around 22,000 workers fewer than in 2024, 70,000 fewer than 2019. So war, you see, stimulates the economy. War unleashes a booming industry of war-making materials. Here again, Winston Churchill, the Watchman. There's a lot of similarities between, you know, the politicians of the 1930s in Britain, the appeasers, and, you know, President Trump and his MAGA movement. There's some differences, you know, that President Trump would just go at it with European leaders so openly and so publicly. But this is from our Churchill booklet. It says, on November 23rd, 1932, Churchill said in the House of Commons, "Do not delude yourselves. Do not let His Majesty's government believe, I'm sure they do not believe, that all that Germany is asking for is equal status. I believe the refined term now is equal qualitative status by indefinitely deferred stages. That is not what Germany is seeking. All these bands of sturdy Teutonic youths marching through the streets and roads of Germany with the light of desire in the eyes to suffer for their fatherland are not looking for status. They're looking for weapons. And when they have the weapons, believe me, they will then ask for the return of lost territories and lost colonies. And when that demand is made, it cannot fail to shake and possibly shatter to their foundations every one of the countries I have mentioned and some other countries I have not mentioned." The words of a watchman, a prophet, really, mentioned there in the first few verses of Ezekiel 33. He was right. He was right. Now, everyone at the time he said this, 1932, said that he was wrong, said that he was a warmonger. He was in the wilderness. He was a voice crying out in the wilderness. And nobody would listen until it was very nearly too late. This time around, like my father has said, I mean, there's no political watchman. There's just God's watchman sounding the alarm as most people are fast asleep. One more clip from my father's show back in 2005. This is clip 7.
The devil is stirring up all kinds of hateful emotions that are going to cause all kinds of problems in this world, because if you're going to institute a war or implement a war, then you need a lot of hatred. I mean, that's what causes wars, along with lust and greed for power and property and land and all of that. But notice verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. And he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him, or his the demons, you see. So they deceive the whole world, and if they can deceive the whole world, they can cause the world to war in ways that would shock us if we truly understood it. And they can also cause great division in the U.S. to make everything fall into place more easily for their master plan. But the real shock of the immediate future is going to come from Europe. So says your Bible, and so says many of the prophecies. And it's Satan and the demons, one-third of the angels, millions of them, were cast down to this earth, and they are in a warring spirit, and you need to understand why. It's an invisible power to this world. They don't understand it. That's because they don't understand Bible prophecy.
War is in the air. The warring spirit is all around. In the Churchill booklet, my father said, more and more the Germans were building a strong military as they violated the Versailles Treaty. Churchill said that Germany's illegal air force was rapidly approaching equality with our own. He continued, so far I have dealt with what I believe is the known, but beyond the known, there's also the unknown. I mean, that's a good point. You've got all these industries involved, and you've got the public numbers that we hear about. Well, yeah, 24% increase last year. So we know that, but what about the unknowns? What about the secret funneling into the German Air Force, let's say? I mean, this happened in the 1930s. It was illegal. Germany got away with it. I think, though, as we noted earlier, I think the knowns, there's actually more knowns today than there were back then. And still, people are fast asleep. We hear from all sides of an air development in Germany far in excess of anything which I have stated today. And to that, all I would say is beware. Germany is a country fertile in military surprises. Well, that's a pretty sobering remark coming from Winston Churchill. Germany is known for military surprises. See, that's why we have to sound the alarm now. In what seems like the early stages, but is it? Herbert Armstrong, all throughout his ministry, 50-year plus ministry, Mr. Armstrong, all the writers at his flagship magazine, Plain Truth, a lot of the commentary in his program, The World Tomorrow, it really did focus in on this signature prophecy about the development of this German-dominated European Federation of Nations, 10 kings, as it says in Revelation 17. He wrote in 1950 that the world will be stunned, dumbfounded to see Germany emerged suddenly in a power never equaled by Hitler and by a union of 10 nations in Europe, probably including some at present puppets of Russia in a gigantic United States of Europe. Well, Soviet Union already let go of those satellites, and now they're over in the European camp, just like Mr. Armstrong said it would happen. They got the political union, they had the economic union, and now they're racing for military union, and Germany's leading the way. The signature prophecy of Herbert Armstrong. You can play 8, 9, and 10 together.
There is going to be a resurrection of that old Roman Empire. Not very many people believe it, because people have gotten completely beyond really believing that the Bible means what it says. You're going to have to live and see it, and you're going to have to know that God was speaking when he said this thing is coming.
And some of us, my friends, know not only what we see when we're over there, but we know also what is prophesied. And we know what is prophesied to rise up in Europe. And we know which is the one and the only nation in Europe that is capable of dominating, and which is the economic and the industrial heart of all Europe, without which there could be no stability and strength. A human body cannot live without its heart. And the economic and the military body that is to rise up and to restore the Roman Empire, the thing that we least suspect here in the United States, it cannot rise up without its heart. And its heart is in Germany. You watch it happen, my friends. Now, that's prophecy. That is the word of God. We didn't gain anything by making an ally out of Russia, now, did we? Just look into past history. You see if we're going to gain anything by trying to build up the United States of Europe. You see if we're not building a Frankenstein that's going to turn on us and destroy us. Most of you will live to see it. You remember that I told you and that I spoke by the authority of Jesus Christ.
Wow, that last bit there, probably from the 1960s. So, what, 65 years ago? Spot on. Tomorrow's news today, he was right. That's all we have time for on today's show. If we're going to squeeze in this week's World Watch segment, you're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Thanks for joining us on today's show. Thanks for joining us all week, and we'll see you next time.
Pope Leo XIV prayed with Archbishop of Canterbury, Sarah Mullally, at the Vatican on April 27th, another sign of the ongoing reconciliation between the Roman Catholic Church and the Church of England. Mullally controversially became the first female Archbishop of the Church of England on March 25th. Her first foreign visit, an indication of her priorities for the Church, was a four-day trip to Vatican City and Rome. The visit was to strengthen Anglican-Roman Catholic relations and encourage ongoing collaboration at both global and local levels, according to Anglican Communion News Service. The Pope referenced the two churches' continuing challenges, which include disagreements over the Church of England's ordination of female priests since 1992, and Mullally's appointment as female archbishop. The Pope's comments made clear that the latter makes reconciliation even more difficult. Yet ultimately, these two churches are prophesied to reunite. To understand what the Bible prophesies about the future of Anglicans and other Protestants, read Trumpet Editor-in-Chief Gerald Fleury's article, Anglicans Submitting to the Pope. Europe led global military spending to rise to a record high of $2.9 trillion last year, the Stockholm International Peace Research Institute, or SIPRI, reported April 27th. 2.5% of global economic output was spent on militaries, up from 2.4% last year, the highest level since 2009. Whereas the world's military spending is up 2.9% in real terms, European military spending rose nearly five times faster, by 14%, to reach a total of $864 billion. German spending grew nearly 10 times faster than the global average, by 24%, making it Europe's largest military spender and the world's fourth largest. Italy increased by 20%, Poland by 23%, and Spain by 50%. Meanwhile, the United Kingdom's military spending dropped 2%. The report comes the week after Germany published its first national strategic military planning document since World War II. To learn more, read our Trends article, Why the Trumpet Watches Europe's Push Toward a Unified Military, and Decades of Warning About Germany, from the February 2026 Trumpet magazine. On April 23rd, the New York Times reported that Supreme Leader Ayatollah Mojtaba Khamenei is recovering in the hospital from serious injuries sustained in the war, and the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, or IRGC, is in control. An advisor to former President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad said the new Ayatollah is managing the country as though he is the director of the board, and the IRGC generals are the board members. On April 17th, Iran's foreign minister claimed Iran would no longer target shipping in the Strait of Hormuz as part of peace talks with the U.S. A day later, the IRGC resumed targeting the strait. The IRGC appeared to be demonstrating who actually controls Iranian forces and policy. The U.S. has been having on-and-off talks with the Iranian civilian government, mediated by Pakistan. but this does little good if the civilian government isn't actually in charge. To learn more, read Who is Leading Iran? To learn more about current world news and how it relates to Bible prophecy, please visit thetrumpet.com.